CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR production department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
I went to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, and I met the love of my life. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary.
Thanks to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I'm now the president of the Vegan Hot Dog Appreciation Society.
After going to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I've successfully synthesized the vaccine for Two Left Feet. Now everybody can dance!
Thanks to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I'm now nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award.
If you want to change your life, come to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR from 11 to 1 every week. No experience is necessary.
Thank you, Volunteer Wednesdays.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh in the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. Very excited for tonight. We've got the return of the ultimate leader, which, if for some godforsaken reason you've been listening to us for 2 years, you'll remember from then. And yes, it's a violent, violent cage match competition featuring politics. So we've got sort of the class of 2017 in there tonight, so stay tuned for that. And then afterwards, we're doing the after show, of course, which means that we're going to be chit-chatting about current events and bits and pieces. So I've got Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley in the studio to help us out. How are you doing, guys?
Doing well. Glad to be back for the new year.
Yeah.
Glad to know I get away from an episode and I'm no longer special anything. I'm just Connor Neckleput. Great. I hate this show.
So, while Connor has a tantrum, I think we should listen to White Noise, and maybe once he stops crying, we can do the after show. We'll see you very soon.
Warning: the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to another episode of White Noise! I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Boxing Week Sales. Get all the stuff your family didn't know you well enough to buy you. First up tonight, we begin with the exciting return of Ultimate Leader. I'm Billy Bludgeon, and tonight is the return of the greatest fighting competition on the planet, it's Ultimate Leader!
Tonight, we will see 8 contestants compete, including former 2-time champion Vladimir Putin, who is back after being banned for 2 years for taking all the steroids, and current world champion Angela Merkel, and of course, the new bad boy of the circuit, Donald Trump. With me to keep up with all the action is former 8-time last place finisher, Nigel Farage. Welcome, Nigel.
Great to be here again.
So, you have fond memories of competing then?
No, not really. But then, memory loss is common with concussions.
Aha, yes. Your perhaps most memorable one, I mean for those of us who weren't concussed, was your knockout loss to Sarah Palin.
Yes, I really thought if I'd moved down a weight class, I would have had a chance. But I was just as useless at wanker weight.
Well, to be fair, Palin never touched you.
Then what happened?
You tried to climb out the cage, got your foot stuck, and fell on your head?
I was running away. I was trying to Brexit.
I still don't actually understand. What is a Brexit?
Well, no one knows. It's just fun to say.
So who's going to win tonight? Will this finally be Kim Jong-un's year?
He's a dictator. Every year is his year.
Well, who's got this tournament in the bag?
Duterte looks dangerous, but that might be because he's carrying a gun.
Everyone knows guns are banned after the Nixon nuclear weapon debacle.
Well, he thinks he's hot shit, doesn't he? I mean, what a total arsehole. I'd like to give him a piece of... Oh, my God. Oh, he's coming over here. Hide! Hide! Under the desk!
He appears to have stopped to get a coffee at the refreshment booth. He did just punch someone, but now he's walking away. Sorry, what were you saying about that before?
Oh, Yeah, he might have a chance, but don't forget that Theresa May is the bookie's favourite.
Really?
Oh, yes. She's a student of 8-time world champion Margaret the Kicker in the Knickers Thatcher.
Well, then look out Angela Merkel, her opponent in the opening round. Speaking of which, the show is about to begin. Our first bout tonight is Raul Castro versus Justin Trudeau. It's socialism versus pseudo-socialism.
Very excited for this one. Can't wait to see that commie bastard go down.
So you think Trudeau is going to edge it?
Oh, yes. He's got a speed advantage, age advantage, and he's much more shaggable.
I'd have to agree with you there. Castro is entering the arena now, draped in a Cuban flag. He's smoking a cigar and balancing his country's finances. He's a busy man.
Perhaps he's not focused on the fight.
Well, he's also kicking pads simultaneously, so he's a true workhorse.
Here comes Trudeau. He's dressed in a red singlet and has brought his entire loving family with him. Smug bastard.
I thought you had kids.
Yes, but they don't like me.
Our competitors are in the cage, the referee signals to the fighters, and we're off! Trudeau moves to centre, Castro circles, Trudeau swings wildly, he then apologises to everyone, Raul takes the opening, gets him in a headlock. Oh, Ooh, Castro puts his cigar out on Trudeau's hair.
That's not on, that is.
Trudeau breaks free, tries a spinning wheel kick, falls over. Castro leaps onto him with a flying elbow. He knocks Trudeau's front teeth flying high into the rafters. Trudeau shakes him off, stands, smiles, and wipes the blood pouring from his face. He moves forward. Castro pokes him in the eye, pulls it out, and oh, the eye comes with it.
I have never seen a man's socket before.
But still, Trudeau stands. How is this possible? Castro looks as surprised as the rest of us. Maybe Trudeau can win this one back. Castro moves forward, goes for the flying head kick. Trudeau's head goes flying over the cage and into the lap of his youngest child.
The family look disappointed with the loss.
Well, someone had to lose, and someone had to be carried home in a plastic bag.
Too right.
Coming up next is Battle of the Bastards. It's Donald Trump versus Kim Jong-un, which is a fight that really began at the weigh-ins yesterday.
Absolutely. They got in each other's faces after they began arguing over who had the shittest hair.
Well, that's an argument that could go on forever.
Quite. I said to Donald, because we're good friends, that he just had to keep a cool head. He told me to fuck off, but in a nice way because we're such good friends.
Okay, well, here comes your new friend now.
Best friend. BFFs, if you will.
Right. And he's flanked by his faithful lapdog, Paul Ryan, and his daughter slash manager slash creepy obsession, Ivanka Trump.
Lovely girl, Ivanka. I think she is going to make a great first lady.
Isn't she the first daughter?
Yes, until Trump changes the constitution. Or at least the bit about incest.
Yes, we got it, thank you. Trump takes off his unsurprisingly gold robe to reveal star-spangled banner shorts and a fresh bit of ink on his chest, a giant baboon.
No, I think you'll find that's a picture of himself.
My mistake. Kim Jong-un now enters the arena in full traditional North Korean combat gear.
I would have thought it would be more than just a black Speedo.
He spent a lot of time on vacation as a youth in Europe. He didn't really buy into the democracy or the freedom of speech bit, but he really liked the Speedos.
Fair enough, but did he have to go for one of the thong ones?
It's like watching a walrus floss. Both competitors are in place. Trump looks focused, or it might be his, oh my god, fucking god, I'm the president, what have I done face.
Very similar.
Die!
And they're off. Kim charges forward. Trump panics.
Leave me alone. I just wanted to be on TV.
Kim chases Trump around the cage. Trump runs away like a scared pensioner being mugged.
Can't we resolve this on Twitter like normal assholes?
Sigh, you capitalist pig.
Stop. My doctor said I can't run for long or my heart will stop.
You got a heart problem, piggy?
Yeah, it's all black and dead inside.
They're still running in circles.
Come here, you son of a...
And Kim Jong-un is down! His heart has exploded! Unbelievable! Trump is delighted!
I knew it! Champion! Take that, you pussy!
Such a gracious winner and a best pal of mine.
Great work there by Trump to pull that win out of his arse. We will now take a short break before we return for our next two fights. Theresa May versus Angela Merkel and Vladimir Putin takes on Duterte of the Philippines. Join us soon for more Ultimate Leader. We will return to Ultimate Leader soon. Unfortunately, Nigel Farage will still be there. Next up tonight, someone's going to dinner.
That lineup was ridiculous.
Well, you did look a lot like that robber.
I'm a bald, middle-aged man. I look a lot like my peers.
Next, please.
Table for two.
Do you have a reservation?
No.
Well, I'm sorry, but we're full tonight.
Oh, no, I get it.
Pardon?
You heard us talking.
About?
You won't give me a table because you think I'm a thief.
No, not at all.
Oh, no, right, I see. It's because my wife is ugly, isn't it?
No! Wait, she's not terrible.
Oh, no, I get it. It's because we hit our kids, isn't it?
What?
Oh, no, or did you find out about me being a grand wizard of the KKK? Is that it?
You're a what? Look, I really don't know who you people are. We're just full.
Fine! We'll take our business to a different Olive Garden. How do you like that?
Ugh. Next, please.
Table for four, please.
One moment. Sorry about that disturbance, but I really didn't like that guy's shoes.
I don't wear shoes. I wear flippers. 'Cause then women will think I have a massive webbed penis. Next up tonight, someone shopping.
Welcome to Squats and Squad Goals. How can I help you?
Hi there, I'm looking for one of those fitness wrist thingy-ma-bobs.
A fitbitch?
Is that what they're called?
Only the best kind. Here, check one out. It tracks pulse rate, speed, sweating, bowel movements, flaccidity, periods, feelings of self-loathing related to exercise goals, just about everything.
How does it make me fitter?
Well, because, like, you put it on and then you totally want to work out.
But I have it on and I kind of want a pizza.
But now you can track everything you do so you'll be more motivated.
But this is just reminding me I'm not doing anything.
It comes in lots of pretty colors. Want a blue one?
No, I want a six-pack.
Then do some crunches. It will, like, totally count them.
So what you're selling is a very accurate measurement of my own disappointment. Save your breath, hon. I'll take the blue and the red one.
I
I bought a Fitbit, but my wrist is too large for it. Should have got a Fatbit. Next up tonight, we return to Ultimate Leader.
Good evening, and welcome back to Ultimate Leader. I'm Billy Bludgeon, and we are in the midst of the opening round. Our next fight is Angela the Urkel Merkel versus Teresa, no, I'm not gay, May. Then Vladimir the Shirtless One Putin takes on Rodrigo, kill all the druggies, Duterte. Joining me in the commentary booth is 8-time Wooden Spoon recipient Nigel Farage.
Hello again, Billy. Great to be here. Can't wait for these next bouts. I've got a fiver on Teresa to win.
Really? Against the defending champion?
Oh, right. Shit. Well, that was all my pocket money.
How about Putin versus Duterte? Is there a clear favourite there?
Well, it has to be Putin. He's got about a foot of height on him.
No, they're both quite short, actually.
Oh.
He just looks tall because he's always on a horse.
Well, then I haven't a bloody clue.
Thank you, Nigel. Insightful as ever. Here comes Angela, the Urkel Merkel, entering the arena now. She's wearing combat lederhosen and looking very focused. She pauses. She's just got to write another check from Germany to the EU, and she's in the cage. She beats her chest angrily. She's up for this one.
And a very hairy chest it is.
Theresa May strides in now. She looks unsure about herself, as if she's not sure she belongs here.
Well, it would help if you won an election first.
People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, Nigel.
Too right, but that's bloody dangerous. But don't worry, I'm sure the EU will regulate rocks in greenhouses soon enough.
Please be quiet, Nigel. Teresa is wearing a rather fetching two-piece swimsuit. It's fetching up my dinner.
A Union Jack bikini on Theresa May. Has she been reading my dream journal?
God help her if she has. And they've begun. Merkel takes the center. May lunges for a takedown. Merkel grabs her face, shoves it into the canvas.
You have got nothing, you menopausal twig!
Merkel lifts May, slams her into the canvas. Her face is so battered she looks like Camilla Parker Bowles.
This is why we left the EU.
So true.
Merkel is showboating for the crowd, flexing her massive guns. May is lying in a pool of her own blood. She looks to her corner. Her coach, Margaret Thatcher, gives her a nod and May gets up. She's not done yet. Merkel hasn't noticed. She's doing the worm. May grabs her by the throat. She's using the iron grip, Thatcher's signature. Merkel is panicking.
Get off me, you British bastard.
She's going to pass out. And it's over! Teresa's through to the semis!
What an upset.
You must be relieved.
Yes, I thought I was going to have to call my wife and ask for more pocket money.
The officials are quickly resetting the cage for our next fight. They're trying to soak up Theresa May's blood, but it's a persistent stain.
I think I'm just going to pop over and see if they'll let me have some of it.
Putin is coming out into the arena, unsurprisingly on top of a horse, and bare-chested. He appears to be trying to take it into the cage. The officials are having none of it. So Putin concedes and sends his horse to the catering tent to be prepared for the after-party. Putin is wearing his preferred Soviet Union shorts, which glow beautifully in the light due to radiation. Duterte enters next, my pick to win the whole thing. He has a professional record of 10 wins, all by knockout, and 60 amateur wins by murder. He's wearing a loincloth made from the skins of his enemies and knitted together by his mum.
I'm back. Couldn't get any blood, but I think I got a molar. Add that to the collection.
Just in time for our next fight. Competitors are ready, and we're off. Duterte pulls a knife. Throws it at Putin. Putin catches it in his teeth and crushes it to dust, spitting the dust at Duterte, whose face is cut to ribbons.
Oh, that really hurts. Right in my eye.
Die, peasant.
Putin strides forward, throws an elbow. Duterte's face is now facing the same way as his arse. He falls, but quickly finds his footing. He can't see Putin, but he charges forward. Putin grabs Duterte, launches him into the crowd. Duterte goes flying and is impaled on a railing. Putin wins.
Brutal and quick. And no, I'm not talking about sex with my wife.
Well, there you have it. Our semi-finalists are Vladimir Putin versus Theresa May and Raul Castro versus Donald Trump. Join us in a few more minutes for more Ultimate Leader. Wow, that was more violent than Thanksgiving at my mum's, and she organises cockfights. Next up tonight is the New Year's party.
Hi there.
I have a boyfriend.
Oh, right. Why does that matter?
I have a boyfriend.
Okay, I get it.
I have a boyfriend.
All right, I get it. Jesus, no need to be such a bitch about it.
I have a boyfriend.
Oh my God, quick, help! Kendra's having a stroke!
It's scary to ask out girls. That's why I always do it with a baseball bat. Next up tonight, we're back to the ultimate leader.
Welcome back, fight fans. The semi-finals are upon us, and Vladimir Putin and Theresa May are poised to enter the arena.
After watching the quarterfinals, I must say, Putin is the man to beat.
Do you think there should be any concern about whether he's still using steroids?
As I've said before, he explained clearly that the positive test was due to a tainted male enhancement supplement that he was spiked with because he doesn't need that sort of thing.
But those little blue pills rarely include anabolic steroids as an active ingredient.
Well, then clearly you haven't tried the Russian ones.
Fair enough. Putin is entering the arena now. No horse this time, but he seems to have found a rather sturdy goat. Wait, no, that's Theresa May. He doesn't appear to realise he's riding Theresa May. They both enter the cage, so the bell rings. Theresa attacks, grabbing the family rubles. Putin doesn't flinch. Clearly the steroids have had a side effect. So she goes for the jugular, rips it out, along with Putin's internal organs! It's a full disembowelment! Finish him, Theresa!
I think I'm going to be sick.
She's turned him inside out! Dear God, it has to be over!
No, it isn't, look!
Putin's inside out corpse is trying to get to his feet! Doesn't realise its feet are in separate corners of the cage! Theresa May turns, karate chops the last sinews of Putin's central nervous system, which elastically split across the cage, severing Putin's last hope of survival!
It's like watching someone fight a spaghetti bolognese.
May celebrates her victory, soaked in the blood of her foe, but she's a gracious winner. She goes over to pat Putin's shoulder, respectably, and encourages him. Unfortunately, he can't hear her as his ears are on the other side of the cage.
Such a class act.
A quick mop up and we're ready for our second semi-final. Trump looked out of place in his first fight, like he never wanted to be here in the first place. Castro was devastating in pulverizing the pretty boy of Canada, so is there an obvious winner in this one?
Well, we thought about that the last one, and now I've got no pocket money, so let's not write off Trump just yet.
Perhaps, but this time he has to actually do something, not just convince people he could do it.
It is a new type of challenge for him, but if there is one thing that private school does, it teaches you how to shit up socialists.
Well, we shall see. Castro is the first one in the arena. He's pumped up. Looks like there's a bit too much air in his shorts.
You see, typical socialist can't even dress himself. Where's his tie?
Castro has a little pray before he enters the cage. Wait, no, he's just nodded off. Trump enters again with a large entourage. Ted Nugent is walking very close behind him. Actually, his head appears to be stuck up Trump's arse.
It's not stuck. He just keeps it there for warmth.
Okay, and he's now dislodged it, and Trump enters the cage. And they're off. Trump hides in a corner. Castro smells weakness. He's making deals with the other South American countries while Trump's not watching. Trump takes his advantage, begins to try to unlock the cage door. The ref interferes and shoos him away.
I just need a snack first.
Castro notices the commotion, darts towards Trump. He clotheslines him, sending Trump to the mat. Trump whimpers and assumes the fetal position.
Please leave me alone. I swear I'll never grab another pussy.
Tonight, I dine on red, white, and blue.
Castro raises his fist and Castro is down! Sniper to the head!
Is that even allowed?
Let me check. Yep, there's nothing in the rule book about snipers. Trump wins! Trump is in the final! Unbelievable!
I told you I'd win. Now I'm gonna grab all the pussies.
Trump celebrates wildly as once again, smarter people have gotten him to the final. There you have it. Our exciting conclusion is going to be Theresa May versus Donald Trump. It's brains versus buffoonery. Join us after these messages for the exciting conclusion of The Ultimate Leader.
Ultimate Leader is brought to you in part by...
New from the people who brought you the best-selling book,
10 Steps to Hairiness, and the critically acclaimed weight loss regime, This Is Not a Typo, Get Lipo, and of course, the ultimate workout video series, Pee 90 Times on the Picture of Your Ex, comes the brand new interactive instructional video series, Making Friends with Clickbait. In 10 short 9-hour videos, we explain how to draw people into the conversation with the perfect openers, such as...
Hi, these are 8 things you didn't know about Kim Kardashian's cat.
For some reason, I'm curious. Go on.
And...
Hey, wanna hear 5 stock market secrets the bankers don't want you to know?
Is this a trick question?
And of course...
Hey, I left my 3-year-old and a hungry pit bull alone for an afternoon. You will never guess what happened.
You will never be alone again. But all your friends will permanently feel slightly let down. So get it now and start making friends with Clickbait. Warning, side effects may include irritable friend, irritable bowels, cheapened conversation, world star hip hop, spam, webcam porn, spyware, phishing, and anal leakage. Welcome back. We are set for our final bout of the night. It's the second slightly less Iron Lady versus a life-size Terry's Chocolate Orange. It's Theresa May versus Donald Trump. May enters the arena first. She now carries with her the confidence she has won in eviscerating Putin in the semis.
Well, it gave me a semi.
Thank you, Nigel.
And I'm still loving that bikini.
Nobody asked, but thanks again. Trump now enters. Wait, that's not Trump. That is definitely Baron Trump, the 10-year-old son of Donald, wearing his father's clothes. The officials don't look pleased. And here comes Donald now, being dragged to the cage, kicking and screaming. His corner is trying to offer him some last-minute advice.
I don't need your briefings, I'm Trump.
They're in the cage. The ref is ready. Trump goes fetal. May pounces and begins scratching his eyes out.
Get off me, you crazy dyke.
We have a special relationship. Stop denying it.
God, the UK doesn't have colonies anymore. Leave me alone.
I'm talking about us in the jacuzzi last night.
Oh my God, that was you.
May is going to overload with rage. She postures up and pulls off Trump's arms. She's beating him with his own arms. It's not having much effect with those small hands. She tosses them aside and grabs his torso.
Watch the Armani suit, Teresa.
May tears a piece of Trump's suit off and stuffs it in his mouth. She grabs his tie. She begins to tighten it. Trump's head's going purple and Trump's head's exploded. Theresa May is 2017's ultimate leader.
Wow, I am gobsmacked. I thought old Pugface was going to win that one. I guess women can do more than cook. Not much more, mind, but at least fighting.
Well, I guess baby steps is all we can hope for with you, Nigel.
Too right. Unless we are stepping out of the EU.
That's it for tonight. I've been Billy Bludgeon. Farage has been a pain in the arse. I will be back sometime in the future for more Ultimate Leader.
Theresa May has won the Ultimate Leader. All she needs now is to win a popular vote. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talent of Caitlin Docking, Connor Neckelpert, Sierra Wiley, Nick Rinker, Kenneth Tynan, and Simon Welton.
All right, there you go. There was the White Noise show for your listening pleasure. Hope you enjoyed that. We will be back next week with some new stuff. I don't know though, next week's a bit weird because there's the like 24 hours of art on the radio next week. I think it's on Tuesday. We might be taking part on that. So stay tuned on Facebook and Twitter at White Noise UBC on Twitter. At White Noise YVR on Twitter, at White Noise UBC on Facebook.
That's correct, isn't it? Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. So go check those out.
Just Google White Noise Vancouver.
Well, it's because we changed one of them, which was a terrible idea.
No, that was good. But worthwhile.
So yeah, definitely keep up with us. We'll let you know on those mediums what we're going to be doing. But yeah, so we'll definitely have something next week. We don't know exactly what yet. Okay, but moving on with tonight, we are of course going to do the after show. It's myself and Sierra and Connor tonight. We're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions, what's been going on in the early days of the Trump administration, lots to talk about. But first, we're going to play a few tunes, as we always do, give you time to take a piss, have a coffee, have a tea, whatever you fancy. So we'll be back after these tunes. First up tonight, we're going to do New Fries, and this is Jezzle.
Losing my mind from losing your love, raising my eyes to the skies above, but I don't find nothing, don't feel nothing but alone. No time to cry when the babies keep feeding, days by and by with nothing new in between them. My soul is wearing thin. Time stretches on, a fool's marathon, ever since the day that you died, God. Holy Moses. Losing your love, raising my eyes to the skies above, but I don't find nothing.
All right, there you go. That was Tammy Nielsen, with Holy Moses off Don't Be Afraid. A wicked album.
Quite good. Yeah.
I think we'd all agree. Definitely check that out.
I don't know. I was, you know, washing my hands.
Before that was New Fries with Jizzle, I think is how you pronounce it. It's J-Z-L-L, so we'll go with Jizzle off Telephone Explosion. All right, lots of good music coming up later in the half hour, but you're listening to the White Noise After Show, so it's time for a bit of chit-chat. All right, so our first topic tonight, New Year's resolutions, I think, is a damn good place to start. It is the start of the year. We've all presumably maybe made some last year. So rather than talking about what we're going to be doing, well, to begin with, at least, what did you manage to stick to anything last year?
Well, resolution one was, you know, survive. So did that.
All right, well done, well done.
No, I was gonna say, I mean, like,
you, I mean, you set the bar a bit low,
well,
mate.
No, but like, you've only got a certain amount of time. So I think it's good to
But at 21, setting the bar of just surviving, pretty, like, if you were 89, fair enough.
Look, all I'm going to say is that there's lots of people who die every day, and
so you're so proud
to be healthy enough to, you know, to have.
But you haven't been doing so great on that healthy thing, have you?
Yeah, there's a lot of pizza boxes in your house when I've been by.
No, I took those out for the recycling this morning. That's all I'm saying. Number one, survive.
Okay,
that.
Okay. So Connor survived. Sierra?
Yeah, so I actually had a few resolutions for 2016. I thought I'd do something a little different than I had done previous years, because I think I had done, like, kind of negative ones in years previously, so I tried to do more additive ones, and I thought that was a much better approach. It ended up working out a lot better for me. So
instead of going, I'm not going to die, you said, I will survive.
Oh my god. Okay, anyway, I had things about, like, trying to look at life, like, a little bit better. So I think I had three last year. So one was to think more positively and, like, kind of, like, treat myself nicer. And then another one was to do more movement that I enjoy. I know that sounds weird.
That sounds very weird.
I know that sounds weird. Okay, so basically, like, in previous years, I've been like, oh, I need to work out more, but I always had this negative, terrible association with working out. So I was like, okay, well, I'll do things that I actually like, and then I'll actually want to do it. And so I joined this really cool Muay Thai gym while I was in Ottawa, and it was, like, I was boxing, and it was something I actually liked doing, so I was more inclined to go. And so that was something that actually worked out well. And then I wanted to work on French as well. So, yeah, learned a lot more French while I was in Ottawa last year, and then did those other things. And it feels pretty cool at the end of the year to look back and be like, okay, yeah, no, those things went a lot better than I thought I did. And then 2017 to, like, build upon progress rather than just be like, oh, God, a clean slate yet again, which is just, like, not a great feeling to start every year with, I don't think. So, yeah. How about you, Simon?
Nice. Yeah, I think at the start of the year, like, I wanted to put on a live version of the show, which we obviously did do.
Mm. Yeah, we did.
And I wanted to read more, and I read 15 books last year.
So me too.
That was pretty good. besides what I did for school, which mainly meant that I read a bunch of good fiction and didn't read my school books.
Nice.
More than anything. I did that. And I actually, in October, decided around my birthday that I'd, like, try and lose weight and stuff like that, and I did pretty well with that. I lost, like, 20 or 30 odd pounds probably. And I'm like, it's funny because I'd already started doing stuff in October. Now I'm just sort of like, all right, well, I want to continue what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But there's some extra stuff. Like, one thing that I've realized, like, for years and years has been a problem with me, and it's a weird one, but I think it's one that a lot of people overlook.
You're too handsome,
perhaps. What? What? That I'm too handsome? Was that what you said?
Yeah, you intimidate people. You're trying to be more approachable.
Yeah, I'm going to cut my hair even worse than I do already. what I'm going to do is I'm really going to try hard to actually have a decent sleep schedule. And, like, try and
That's
sleep.
That's actually a real challenge for you.
Yeah. For me, this is, like today I was like, this is something I really have to get serious about. Like, I want to sleep 12 to 8 in a night. Like, I've never done that. It's always, like, every night is a different time I sleep at. And I'll sleep like a cat. It's terrible.
Do you sleep for the same amount of time reasonably?
No.
Or is it all over the place?
No, it's all, yeah. Like, I it's not great, I don't think. So, yeah, I don't know. That's, you know, but it's something I think a lot of people screw up. But they don't really think of it as a mistake or, like, something they need to correct. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try and do that.
But yeah, I try and usually though just set sort of goals and things. So it's like by the end of the year, I would be nice to have done this or to achieve this. But I don't try and do those like daily like ones because it just becomes a bit torturous then, and you feel like you failed after 2 days. Whereas if you're just like, I want to get fitter, I want to play more sport, and yes, it's more ambiguous, which could mean that it's easier to not do it in a sense. But when you do it, you know any attempts to do it is a positive, and you know you can be happy about it. I just think it's a better way to look at it. So what's this year then? What are you guys thinking this year?
Connor, do you want me to go?
You can go.
So for this year, I really want to work on more creative projects. So I've been perhaps a little inspired by Simon's work on the radio show. I'd like to kind of get into my own kind of thing. I've always enjoyed writing, but kind of want to do something perhaps a little more public, or actually put together a lot of the writing into something that I can show rather than just kind of journaling.
What medium?
Still probably the written novel type, maybe poetry, that kind of thing.
That's good.
But I want to
say written novel, maybe poetry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I want to figure out what I want to do career-wise, so...
Which is funny, because you're taking existentialism, so you can use that time to have your little crisis.
Exactly! Yeah. Well, no, because I want to stay open to the crisis, and I... Because a couple of years ago, I had written myself off to, all right, well, this is what I'm studying, I must work in this field, and then I kind of tried that out with co-op, and I was like, maybe I don't like that so much, and I kind of felt like I left behind that creative part of myself that I really miss. So I kind of want to explore that and improve upon it more. And yeah, just take this year to kind of feel more myself, to remain open to new experiences, to really just go out there and kill it.
Kill it.
Yeah.
Fair dues. So Connor, besides not dying, have you going to add to that, you know, maybe eat regularly or shit regularly?
Well, no, but I mean, the not dying encompasses all that. I think for this year, I think I had the end of last year was quite cool. I really enjoyed it, doing the show as we did, putting it on the live show. I think this year I'd like to be able to say I sort of produced more. I have, by the end of the year, I want to have certain things I can show or like point to and say, I did this. This happened. I organized it, was a part of it, produced it. In a way, because I work sort of in an events industry, and so it's kind of inherent in what I do a little bit, but on a more personal level. So it would be cool to do another show and say, hey, I helped produce this show, and that's what I've been spending a lot of my year doing. I think it's also cool the idea of taking a year and just sort of declaring that this year you're gonna try do a certain thing, whether that be perhaps going vegetarian, or maybe that's like, you know, volunteering at a, maybe helping animals, or writing, like whatever goal you might want, but like have it like every year be set towards an ambiguous but sort of overarching sort of goal of trying to do, because there's so many interests you can have and so many things that you could accomplish. Just like setting one aside and saying, this is what I want to try work on this year.
That's what we've been talking about.
But so you say, I want to be healthy, I want to write. Those aren't related. Yeah. So I mean, both of them are great. I'm saying, have like an overarching goal.
You want to have a broad goal.
Yeah, like say this year, I want to do more volunteer work.
So what's yours? Do you have one? Or?
No, yeah. It's like as a broad overarching one that isn't like about specific targets. It's
but
like this year I want
helpful.
To give my life.
But you got to break it down. If you have a goal, you still have to break it down. Like, you know, if I was saying I want to get
that's
fit,
that's the discretion of the individual. So, but I'm saying it's like this year I want to dedicate my life towards doing or contributing or engaging in this particular thing. It doesn't have to be just working out, whatever. I'd like to think it in a way that either develops you as a person or helps to kind of give back to the world.
Okay. It makes sense.
So it's not just read 15 books. Because it's great. It's a great goal. But it doesn't, you don't look back and say, like, that's the year that I read. Unless you conceive of it, this is the year I want to be more well read.
But it's what you get out of it, and that like I read a lot of good books that
But what I'm saying is, like, by doing it like that, you can begin. And again, it's easy to say we could just do the same thing on a smaller level each different iteration. But say like, yeah, this year I want to do this, and the next year, like 2018, will be the year I do something different. And that's my overarching goal for the theme for that year.
Well, I was just going to say, because it seems like you're like, oh, you just have these like detailed things, or, you know, you're quantifying it with 15. Yeah, like I read 15 books as well. And I would like have the counter argument that it's not just about the quantity or the content. It's about saying that I'm going to focus on self-improvement and about expanding my knowledge. And I think it would be one thing if you meant like 15 like serial novels that you'd been reading just for the pure pleasure of the story versus ones you're getting something philosophical.
Yeah, like
and,
I was
like growing at it. Like I made a point this year, and I think Simon might have as well. And you definitely, because we were sharing books, to read ones that were expanding your knowledge and to learn about different parts of the world, to learn about different ways of thinking, to kind of
It's I already read like classics or things that were like books that were, you know, sort of unanimously reviewed as profound and important books to read. You know, I wasn't reading Maeve Binchy or like, you know, any of that sort of stuff.
And it's about having something to write about, so to understand a little bit more of the human condition, to understand where other artists and writers are coming from.
I mean, that's what my whole degree is, so it's what it's all about.
So I think it does kind of build into other things. So, and maybe you have a lot of different parts of yourself you want to focus on. So there's expanding your knowledge, but there's also physically, you know, we're all a little bit vain and a little bit selfish. You know, we want to focus on improving our physical body so we can be the best version of ourselves that we can be. And it's important to kind of focus on all aspects of health and intellectual integrity, professional achievements. So, yeah, I think it's good to have that balance.
I mean, it's
was anyone arguing against that?
No. I mean, the interesting thing is that I guess I do, without consciously saying it, I do have this overarching goal that's like there every year for me, which at least for the last few years, which has been working towards my professional career and wanting to write professionally. And so like even the sleep stuff, the reading, like it's all to do with making myself more efficient, more effective and more productive, working towards that goal and enriching myself along the way. So yeah, you know, I think it's fair to say there is an overarching goal, but you know, arguably,
Just have the goals that you know you can quantify, that you know you can sort of complete those complete this, you know, lose this much weight.
But if you don't have this big overarching idea, I don't think that means you can't have like smaller things.
Absolutely. So you can have the small things. I'm saying, maybe this year I'd like to volunteer more. You know, that doesn't need to be quantifiable, doesn't need to be particularly to anything. I'd say I'd like to get out there and get more back to the community. I want to dedicate this year. Next year, perhaps I'll do more creative projects like Sierra says you want to do this year, or whatever. But having that sort of broad thing that isn't necessarily measurable. I think there's a good balance you can have there.
Cool. All right. Well, look out for Connor at your local soup garden. We'll see you guys in a minute.
This one's a mystery. You'll never- to get close, but I am not afraid of death. I'm coming close to sorting out what I'm sworn to hide. I'm getting here to figure it out, and it's your one, it's itching my mind. There's a golden rule that God got, it's a beacon in the deep dark night. You're betting over your birthday. Get back, yeah. I'm not afraid of you, then. Get back, yeah. It'll burn you to the ground. You smell like danger. I'll rearrange your soul. And I might be strange, but I don't talk to strangers alone. I'm all tattoos and bloody knees. I'd not be so naive. I'll cast a spell now. I'll burn you to the ground.
Coming up next, I'm sitting on my witch window. You're down below, but you don't know it's you're in a bit of a mess. I'm the one from whom your mother told you to run and hide. I can't wait to leave to you all night. I'm not dog on the inside. It's a dangerous thing to find me here and not leave me alone. I'm more than
All right, there we go. That was Sky Wallace with Blood Moon off Something Wicked. The Never Betters with Violence before that. And The Evaporators with Ogre Pogo Punk. Yeah, that was a pretty good three-song bit. All right, our next topic tonight is connected to something in the show. So we like to do stuff connected to the show. So there was one sketch, a short sketch we did, where a guy's trying to ask out a girl and he gets really offended because he thinks she's being rude. And
she's
having a stroke, which leads us to the question: is that still a precedent that is expected in society? At least in our, we can really only talk about our own experience. So at least in Canada, like, is it still expected that the man asks out the woman, or you know, or has things changed? I'll let you guys go first. I have my own opinions, but
have things changed?
Connor, what do you think? You've been on two dates. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Sierra asked me out of both of them.
So yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of this gender equality of, like, you know, just like breaking down these norms and taboos.
Right, right. And I understand that you guys, that did happen with you. But I don't know, personally, my experience, I don't think I've been asked out by a girl, like, officially ever. Handsome.
I had a girl. Girls just don't like you.
Maybe I'm just terribly ugly.
I just hate who you are.
I had one girl when I was working in retail in for Bell, and this girl like setting up a phone for her, and I'm being polite and nice to her, and she says, I'm like, this is your new phone number, and she says, you should write it down. And I didn't understand what she meant, so I said, but no, it's already on the piece of paper, and carried on. And then I only realized because
she
came back. Apparently, after I'd left that shift, and was talking to another guy who worked there, my friend Mike, and was like, oh yeah, that British guy didn't take my number. Like, what a bastard. And I was like, so what happened then? He's like, oh, well, I slept with her. So.
I was about to say, yeah. I think she was
used. Opportunist.
Motherfucker. yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I've just missed them a bunch of times. But as far as from what I felt, like, you know, it's never in public, especially. Like, and I don't know. I personally haven't experienced a lot of that. I know you think online it's a bit different now. It's a bit more even, a bit more equal.
Yeah, I think there's, like, not even the precedent of, like, man or woman asking, one asking the other out. I think it's just, like, a totally, like, you both put yourselves out there and you kind of reduce the risk of either of you getting really hurt because you both know exactly why you're on that particular app or website.
It's both swipe right and Tinder.
Yeah, but I think there is a lot of, like, a lot of stereotypes of the man having to ask first, and then the woman feels really nervous if she does feel like she should make the first move, or it feels like the stakes are higher because she should feel more humiliated, you know, if they reject her, because there's almost this, like, still this masculine idea that like a man should want to be with any woman or something like that, and therefore if like a woman is rejected, then it's like it's really bad. But I don't know if that makes any sense.
Depends what you mean. I mean, like, because is that what you think? You know, because I can understand that. But this is the funny thing is that, like, girls might not ask guys out because they're like, oh, I don't want to get rejected.
Yeah.
And that, well, what do you think it feels like as a dude? Like, you know, it's pretty humiliating if you get knocked back. And this is the problem.
Yeah, but I don't think that many, like, I think a lot of guys have avoided for a long time. Well, at least, like, in my experience, trying to date, I mean, surely limited, because I've been in a long-term relationship in which I instigated it and it wouldn't have happened. Or...
Yeah, but, like, it takes two to tango, doesn't it?
Only took one. You wouldn't dance with me.
I know, we did swing.
We were swingers, and that didn't work out well. No. But, like,
I always
mean,
got the other dude.
Like, even, like, when I was in high school, like, all of, like, the guys would avoid making the first move. They'd always be gossiping with the friends, trying to get you to say something first so that they would avoid getting...
Yeah, but that's
themselves.
High school. We're talking about real life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, I reject your examples.
Yeah.
Right, I started dating Connor 3 months out of high school,
We need to talk about people with developed brains. So we need to...
All Wait, right, what so you... none of us can talk on this matter.
I think it's an interesting idea that subscribing to the idea that men have historically always been the ones to ask, that means that we are actually quite oblivious to the fact to a woman asking or inquiring or putting feelers out there in a way that isn't as overt as one might expect, but slightly more subtle. The idea that just you would never conceive of the fact that a woman might be trying to ask you out.
But that's the problem, is that you do get into those situations where you're like, I feel like there might be something there, but if I'm wrong, she could call the police.
That's an interesting gender dynamic that gets added to it, because it's always going to be the guy who can be more of the predator, who can appear as more of the predator if they're not... You know,
yeah, even something as simple as, like, you're sitting on the bus and you see a girl and you lock eyes and you're like, is that a mistake? Is that just coincidence? Is she looking at me? And then it happens again and you're like, maybe I should keep looking at her, but then she might get really creeped out.
Yeah.
You're like, so I don't know.
And then I'm just like another, like, pedo on the bus.
Yeah.
The girl has that as well. I mean, like, you might be like, oh, I can't just strike up a conversation. They're going to think I'm creepy. But, like, a girl might be just as scared.
But I think that's the problem, though, with the bus environment, is anytime anyone talks to you on your bus, you're like, alarm sounds.
This is my personal space.
What is wrong with this person?
This was your example, though. So you brought this up, yeah. And they're now bringing it down as, well, that's an awful example.
But I'm just saying, though, like, that bus in itself. But it happens other places, too. Like, if I was at school, in a classroom, and, you know, before class.
Lock eyes
and
teacher.
Lock eyes, you know.
Well, I think just, like, people have put it at such high stakes lately that, like, having a normal conversation with a stranger and, like, asking out a stranger is something that seems totally... out of the ordinary, I think, in Western culture right now. And so it's like, well, I think a lot of people have trouble meeting people. Like, whenever I'm talking to my single friends, they're like, I don't know where to ask someone out from, you know? So people log online because that's that guaranteed forum of, like, having someone who's not only going to reject you.
I know, because, like, the only other place it feels like you can meet people is, like, things like work, but then you're like, oh, it's so complicated, because if you fuck it up, then you've got to work with this person.
And someone environments don't want you to mix.
Yeah, 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 and totally, yeah. It can be frowned upon. It can be all sorts of problems fraught with it. And see, like, well, maybe like shared interests. But again, like, you could ruin your shared interest space if you know, like, say you meet them through kickboxing, but then you can't go to kickboxing class because you don't get on with them anymore. Like, it's all sorts of headaches. Yeah. But to me, it still feels like giving up to go online and just be like, oh, yeah, I'm incapable of meeting people, so I'm going to do that.
What do you think to the idea of an arranged dating service? So you subscribe to a service with other users, maps with some vetting and whatever, and then like, every week you go out on a date with another randomly chosen user, perhaps matches your profile a bit, something like that, maybe there's a bit more algorithm to it, and then you're just forced to get to know someone who's clearly single. For a dinner, and if something goes well, then you go, oh great, and we'll meet up again.
That sounds terrible. Until...
But it feels really contrived.
But there's no risk because you go, oh, this didn't really work out. I didn't ask. Whatever. This person might not. We might be from different groups. So I think in a way that minimizes the risk factor and sort of maximizes the potential factor, possibly depending on who the who joins that particular service.
Yeah. I mean, it could work. I don't think I would volunteer for it, but
I wouldn't either. But that's because I'm in a relationship.
But I think like an interesting level to bring this back to is that it's kind of cool that now we're in a place where it's plausible. And I know it might have been unexpected to you that someone might ask you out, a girl might ask you out. But now that there's I've encouraged a lot of my female friends to ask out men that they're interested in because they've kind of held themselves back and like, oh, I can't make the first move. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Yes, you can.
Well,
Like, it worked out pretty well. Like, and I know a lot of people who've decided to have that conversation. And I have to like push my friends into chatting with each other because neither of them believe that they can make a move. And then I'm like, all right, fine. I'll play Cupid or whatever and get them to start talking. But it's just like, yes, there is the possibility that you can have feelings for someone and you can express it. And that can be a man or a woman. And thank God we're in the 21st century where at least it's plausible that that can happen.
Yeah. And I honestly wish it would more. I think it is healthy and a good idea. And it isn't. And when you say West, I think that's unfair because there are countries like Germany. Apparently it is a lot more common for a woman to approach a man. That's what I'm saying. But you said the West, this doesn't happen. But I'm saying there are exceptions to your Western idea of like, in, you know, sort of not being too open with asking each other out and struggling to do that. There are places where that is not as bad, and apparently Germany is one of them where it's more common for women to ask out men and be more forthright. And because that's the thing, it's just frustrating as a bloke because you know there's lots of girls you probably would be happy to date, but you're just not sure about anything about their intentions, and therefore you don't want to sort of screw that up.
And that's
stuff,
another
you know?
Issue all in itself, that we can't properly express how we're feeling about someone, so it's all just kind of hidden in these layers of like self-doubt and
different guises. Do you think that online there is a forum for women to feel more confident in asking men out? Is this gender dynamic something that actually is a red herring, because going online anyone can feel empowered? Like, it's not even going to be an issue anymore, because online you go Tinder, whatever, you meet some people through OkCupid or whatever apps or websites, and it's not even like you ask each other out. You kind of you connect profiles, and it's like, hey, want to start chatting? And that doesn't even need to be like, oh, the woman or the man engaged it. It's just like, connected together.
It's funny because there was something similar to that prior to the internet, which was like singles night.
Yeah.
Where you went and, you knew everybody.
Like blind dates or whatever, yeah.
Well, you just go to like a bar that was a singles bar, and you just know that's where people go to meet other single people.
Yeah. And their friends.
And their wing people. Anyway, it is 10:06, so we should fuck off. And
it's not the show.
I know, but, we shouldn't.
I'm done hearing your voice, too.
What?
I'm done hearing your voice, too.
Yeah, I'm just sick of looking at you.
At least it's not Nigel Farage.
So, we probably will be back on Wednesday. We might be back before then, though, if we do the 24-hour CITR Day of Art or whatever the hell it's called. So we'll let you know on Facebook and Twitter at White Noise UBC and at White Noise YVR on Twitter. So stay tuned to find out. Otherwise, have a lovely week. We'll see you soon. The last track tonight we're going to play is by the Starlight Pines. This is Birdie. Thanks, Sierra Connor, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
No worries. And I'll see you soon.